Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday afternoon. We're coming off a holiday weekend, so we're kind of switching it up. I have to work really, really late tonight at the bar, so I'm going to do a Tuesday afternoon show. Obviously, hopefully, you know, everybody had a good holiday weekend here in the States. Shouts out to the UK. Shouts out to all the boxing fans all over the place. Shouts out to Sweden, too. I know I got a handful of Swedish listeners. Big shouts out to you. I talked to a couple online. Appreciate you all, you know, you all across the globe. Anyway, that sounded really cheesy. Across the globe, yo. Anyway, like I said, we are back from a holiday weekend. Not a whole lot to report as far as stateside boxing. Boxing had a break. It had a week break. You know, we have this intense, just overstacked, overexposed. Well, maybe not exposed because it's still not getting as much exposure as we'd like, but it was kind of nice to have just a 1 week off. I mean, that's been since somewhere in December, late December, that we had like a week off or whatever. So there won't be a whole lot of talk about, you know, like a long, long segment of recap. Obviously, we will look to this weekend, though. And this is an example of what we're getting. You know, so many cards on one day. But it's fun. It is fun, no doubt about it, especially when it's spaced out, you know, when it's spaced out over the UK stuff and maybe even, you know, from Japan or wherever. And then we can all kind of watch the cards over a 5-6 hour period. But when they're going head to head to head to head to head, it gets a little tough. You start breaking up the hardcore fan base and your ratings start to shrink even more. So, you know, the PBC on FS1 has a card headlined by Jamal James and Antonio DeMarco. Shakur Stevenson faces a late replacement, but a good fighter in Alberto Guevara on ESPN. For ESPN Plus, Du Bois and Gorman is a good prospect heavyweight fight. Vargas and Kamita on DAZN as well. On Saturday night should be kind of interesting. That's probably the best, I guess you could say the most meaningful fight. Most fights are very meaningful to fighters, obviously. But just because Vargas has a belt and Kamita, you know, I thought he beat McDonald at least once, if not both of those. But I thought it was at least 1-1 in that series. So, you know, we'll definitely take a look. Take a look-see, some of the undercard stuff, too. I'm going to be covering that Minneapolis card for on FS1, not for FS1, but on FS1. So I'm always excited to watch, you know, live boxing, no doubt about it. And the Armory usually is a pretty fun place to watch it. You know, even if it's 3,000, 3,500, last fight was, I think, 4,000, over 4,000. The crowd is just right on top of the ring. It's a great venue, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll break that card down a little bit more just because I'm going to be covering it. But I'm going to break them all down. And, you know, we do have a fair amount of news. A lot of it revolves around, you guessed it, Canelo. Last week we talked about how Canelo was even stealing Plan Bs like Munguia. And then it was Andre. He was stealing headlines, whether he was actually stealing a potential fight for Golovkin, if, in fact, the trilogy doesn't happen. You know, I talked last week that there's just a lot of talk, a lot of chatter going on. We do have an update via Michael Coppinger as far as a supposed opponent list that only has two people on it right now, but we don't know if other names are out there. But supposedly, DAZN has approved, they've okayed only two guys right now to say these are the two guys that are good to go for September. These are who we approve for DAZN. So it's kind of interesting how much approval, you know, how far does that approval go? Can they block a fight and say, nope, that's not going to happen. Sorry. And when you say you approved a fight, I assume that they can do that. That must be in the contract. I don't know. We don't know the details when it comes to that. However, the two opponents are very legit, but they're kind of leaving out two opponents. So, and a third opponent, I'm kind of happy that they're, for right now, leaving it out. So there's a variety of news when it comes to that, including some news we talked about with the IBF, Canelo's IBF, and how at some point they're going to push the envelope because the IBF always does that. Like, hey, dude, so who are you fighting and when are you fighting? Well, they have ruled on the IBF for Canelo, so we'll get into that. I guess there's a working date that's starting to get narrowed down for the Wilder and Fury rematch. We'll fill you in there. Glovoski just got screwed a handful of weeks ago in the Prietis fight. Now, whether or not he was going to win the fight doesn't really matter. He got screwed. And so the WBO had a really fair order. You know, they ordered something to happen, and I really like it. I think it's great. So Prietis and Dorticos, although it sucks that that fight's happening for Glovoski, but there is a backup plan now for him. So we'll fill you in a little bit more, and supposedly we have some more news coming really, really soon for Joshua and Ruiz, the rematch. Eddie Hearn teased that in a tweet. And speaking of Canelo in general, you know, there are some folks over there at the Ring Magazine, and I get it. You know, I get it. And now boxing scene is owned by CBS, so some people, you know, will go after Keith Idick and say he's a, you know, a PBC, you know, homer and all that, which is far from the truth. But I don't know. There's been a couple of articles and just a couple of things where you're like, really, dude? And it has to do with Canelo fighting Munguia, but then also having an opinion on Thurman and Pacquiao and how it differs. Like, oh, okay, so we should maybe look at that fight for a variety of reasons. However, there's like a buyer's beware thing for Pacquiao Thurman. I thought it was really, really funny. It's someone at the Ring that I'll talk about a little later in the show. So yeah, news there. It's not heavy because it was 4th of July. Like, how many times over the weekend, you know, the UFC, they've done well in the summers. It's something that they've been doing for a while. Traditionally, we don't necessarily go on holiday weekends. That's kind of been thrown out. But as far as 4th of July weekend, I remember a couple of years ago, July, was it 2nd? Or maybe it was a little bit, but that Pacquiao Horn fight, so that would have been on the 4th of July weekend. That would have been a Saturday, so the 4th would have been on that Monday. But either way, it's not necessarily a great plan to announce. I just talked about the announcement potentially for Joshua Ruiz. There are a handful of fights. Wilder Ortiz, Spence Porter. There are a handful of fights that need to be announced here in the coming days and weeks, and I assume that will happen. But I'm not really shocked that we didn't get any announcement from this last week. I figure maybe Monday we would get something. But anyway, there was some action. There was a six-round knockout. What was it? Is it Ubali? I think it's Ubali. He actually fought not long ago. I want to say on that, was it that Pacquiao Broner card? Anyway, he knocked out, what was it, Villanuevo? I can't remember. Anyway, it was an easy fight. So that's one thing that, you know, that happened over the holiday weekend here in the States anyway. And then there was an upset too. Who was the upset? I cannot remember. Oh, Formella. He was a unbeaten prospect, Sebastian Hafenbasti, that's his nickname, I guess. Formella, he was 21-0. He upset the IBO champ. This is at welterweight, by the way. Mbenga, who's 15-1 now. The scores were 116-112, 115-112, and 114-113, and it was a major upset. You know, yeah. So that happened. So that's an upset. Otherwise, like I said, there's not going to be, you know, some sort of major recap there, okay? So we're just going to kind of talk about this upcoming weekend as it pertains to the super busy schedule. Because it is, man. It literally is. I mean, you have DAZN, ESPN, and FS1 all having a card on Saturday night. Not to mention the stuff that's not going head-to-head, but earlier in the day, too. Especially that heavyweight fight from the UK. I'm really looking forward to that. Something's up with the... By the way, the number to dial is 646-381-4990. And if you're listening for your very first time to the Rope It Up Radio podcast, or you've only heard it a couple times, just so you know, it streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. So it streams live, excuse me, and archives right at blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. It's the headquarters. It basically is boxing, and you have some football and basketball thrown in. The Rope It Up Radio podcast, though, can be found on iTunes, Spricker, Stitcher, TuneIn, all over the place. Really, Player FM as well. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network that can be found on iTunes and, you know, everywhere across. Also, Spotify and iHeartRadio, you can check it out. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through TuneIn and Spotify to check out the Rope It Up Radio podcast or the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Head on over to the GruelingTruth.net. That's GruelingTruth.net. We got a great sponsor over there, BetDSI.eu. Right now they have a promo code TGT, as in the Grueling Truth. TGT, BetDSI.eu. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you already have, DirecTV Now has a 7-day free trial. So you can try it for free. There's no annual contract. They have the cloud DVR. The plans start as low as $50. HBO is included right now. And they do have a pre-play plan with Apple TV 4K 5th generation. That gets thrown in, too, with a prepay. So check out DirecTV Now. Like I said, plans start as low as $50. So as far as this weekend goes, there is a variety of stuff going on. And although for a hardcore fight fan, you know, I love seeing boxing anywhere, really. You know what I mean? I love seeing it all spread out and all these networks, you know, giving all this money. But, you know, it does have an issue there, right? It does have an issue where you're just oversaturating the market, and we've had that time and time again this year. Now, in years past, we started to get more of that, especially since the ESPN deal came up to go along with what PBC was already doing. So there was already a somewhat cluttered, HBO and Showtime every once in a while would go head-to-head, but it wasn't on a weekly basis. And it's getting to the point where it's almost now, almost all the time, you know, on a weekly basis. So it gets a little overdone, but just to give you a little example, and this is actually Friday night from Japan, Robert Brand and Murata have that rematch fight. That's on ESPN Plus. Also ESPN Plus in Liverpool, there's a card. There's also a Showbox from Tacoma, Washington. Showbox has really been the only product that they've given us this year, Showtime I'm speaking of. So actually it looks like a good card. Usually Showbox, you know, comes through. Telemundo is Friday night. That's just Friday night, day and night. So that's kind of a lot. But this is where it goes head-to-head on Saturday night. And I'm talking about here in the States. Now, there is another ESPN Plus card that – what was that, three then? Du Bois and Gourmet. And that's a really good fight also. Joe Joyce steps up against Bryant Jennings. Sure, Bryant Jennings isn't in his prime anymore, but Joe Joyce has flaws, and, you know, he's a prospect. So it'll be kind of an interesting step up there. But here we go. So we have Shakur Stevenson on ESPN and ESPN Deportes, right? And we'll get into some of the undercard stuff. We have the DAZN. Vargas Camita, some interesting undercard there. And then, of course, we have the FS1 card as well, which there is actually two fights that I have some interest on the undercard as well. But, you know, I haven't looked at the guide yet, so let's hope they don't go literally head-to-head. The DAZN is a little different because it's not really looking at a guide. It'll just start and be on the whole time. But, yeah, man, it's really split out. It is split up pretty crazily. But anyway, let's start with Shakur Stevenson, who as a prospect, you know, it took a little while for him to – excuse me, I had to, you know, sip a little agua and a little Powerade. Okay, I'm back. You know, he basically had to get some of that amateur style out of his system. You're still going to have it. He still has it. But he's now, in the last whatever year or so, a lot of people have been commenting on how he's starting to really look like a pro and look like the goods, Shakur Stevenson. Now, his outside the ring stuff, we'll see if that continues to mess with him. Maybe it was just a drunken episode. He did find a settlement when it came to that, by the way. But Shakur Stevenson versus Alberto Guevara. It's a 10-round featherweight fight. And this is a late replacement, Alberto is, but he's a pretty solid fighter. He's an outside type of fighter. I remember his first big shot was when he was a prospect. I think this is like late 2012, if I remember correctly. It's Leo Santa Cruz. He took on Leo Santa Cruz on a CBS afternoon fight, if I remember correctly, because I believe Jojo Diaz, either his debut. Yeah, that would make sense at the Olympics, too. I think he was making his debut. Maybe it was his television debut, but I think it was his debut. That got cut because there was an overtime basketball game. So the only thing about Guevara, I don't know if he had a fight scheduled or not, meaning what kind of shape he's in. Obviously, you can be proven as a solid fighter, good test for Shakur Stevenson, you know, with your track record. But if you're not in shape, it may be only a handful of rounds or half the fight where he actually puts up you know, a bit a good fight, and then the rest kind of falls apart. Not that he'd win this fight anyway if he was in shape, but it would definitely mean something a little bit more. But that is an interesting fight. Like I said, Alberto does have some outside skill. I don't know. Actually, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, we'll have a little information. I'm going to check something out really quick. On the undercard, though, there is a kind of an interesting fight. That's weird. Sorry. There's an interesting fight with, and I'm just double checking to see. I'm sure they've caught that up. He did fight at the beginning of the year, a 10-rounder with Hugo Ruiz. I do remember that fight. He lost to Emmanuel Rodriguez in 2016, who was unbeaten at that time. Lost to Yamanaka, who hadn't been beat at that time. Lost to Leo Santa Cruz, who hadn't been beaten. That's right, December 15th. I'm looking at his box record right now. Now, like I said, I don't know if he had a fight or not, but it has potential to be a nice step-up fight for Shakur Stevens, who's going back to Newark, New Jersey, where he's from. So that's where the fight is going to be. On the undercard, another fight I'm looking at here is Joshua Greer. He's the guy that brings the pillow into the ring. He signed with Top Rank not too long ago. He's taking on Potapov, something like that, is an IBF bantamweight eliminator. Could be interesting. There is some other prospect stuff going on the card. But Joshua Greer has made a nice little run of late. We'll see if he keeps it going and leads to a title shot. As far as Daniel Dubois, I said Du Bois earlier. You know why? Instead of saying Dubois, I had a buddy from Tennessee. His name was Du Bois. Spelled just like that. So that's why I said Du Bois. I think it's Dubois. But he's taking on Nathan Gorman. It's a vacant British heavyweight, you know, fight. That's not really the most important. No shots at the UK. I know that's important over there. But it's really two unbeaten prospect heavyweights going for it. And this is something, you know, I understand that maybe your first 10 or 15, or even if you look at your first 25, 30 fights on the average UK fighter compared to the average fighter that fights in the US, you know, there has been arguments that they get moved softly as far as on the way up, right? UK versus a US, not just a US fighter from the US, but fighters that fight in the US. But the thing that the UK fight of fans get, and this is kind of cool, sure, you could say, you know, the first, like I said, 10 fights or even a successful career, if you look at 30 fights and how many really challenges they got, a lot of it just has to do with the depth and population and all that. But when you look at prospects, they will match up unbeaten prospects earlier, not just the stuff on Showbox that you get here, but, like, Dubois is a real deal prospect. And so I'm not saying he's going to go on and knock every heavyweight out and all that. I'm just saying that he seems like legit. You know, he's a prospect. So something that they do pretty well over there is put in their guys with another UK guy, you know, and they'll put him in early. And it kind of is like a rivalry, and the fight is huge. I remember with Groves and DeGale, they put them, you know, with each other very early. So that's pretty cool, man. I really like that. Instead of just showbox guys that have to kind of prove themselves, and because they don't necessarily have, like, some great track record of that unbeaten 13-0 or whatever it is. So they have to kind of beat another contender, or I should say another prospect, to try to become a contender. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, interesting fight. Gorman is one of those guys that if you look at him, well, you may not want to look at him too much, at his body, pause, because it doesn't look great. You know, you compare it to Dubois, it's like night and day. But as we've seen with Ruiz, but we've seen in other cases as well, you know, not everything is cracked up to what it looks like. So you got to open the book, and you got to, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. You got to open it up. But I feel like at some point Dubois is probably going to do that to Gorman. It's a good fight, though, because Gorman does have, you know, I actually recently heard Hatton talk about this fight, Ricky Hatton. And, you know, he said, if you're going in there to look pretty and box on the outside and that's it, you're probably not going to get this fight. You're going to have to be more active than just kind of scoring a points win on the outside as a cutie. That's the way he said it. So Gorman does have, I've seen him fight, but I haven't seen a bunch of his fights. So, you know, it's not like I have seen where he struggled and then, you know, got better and all that type of thing, or maybe he digressed in certain areas. That I don't know. But I'm looking forward to this. It seems like a really good test for Dubois at this, you know, stage. He's got the rivalry, the local rivalry. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think Dubois will win. It's a 12-round fight. I think he'll get him out before that. But, you know, Gorman, I know that he said that he's faced, I think that's the one I've seen, one of these, an unbeaten prospect. But he was even, you know, openly admitting, like, you know, I haven't really fought anybody like this. And he feels like Dubois hasn't fought anybody like him. So anything can happen, obviously at heavyweight. But looking forward to this. This is kind of like, okay, now whoever wins this takes a step up the ladder, and that's what's important. Leon Williams is also on the card with a variety of other fighters, but Joe Joyce and Brian Jennings, another 12-rounder too. Joyce is a prospect that is a guy who's old for the sport, right? Considering where he's at, he's an older prospect. So they're not going to sit there and milk him right now. They're not going to sit. They don't have the time to sit there and develop and all that. They're going to have to move pretty quick. And Brian Jennings is his opponent. We all know Jennings, you know, years ago gave Klitschko a really good fight. Then got pretty much manhandled by Luis Ortiz. Brian Jennings last summer, in fact, I think it was August, was in a fight that was a close fight with Rivas, the guy that Dillian White's about to fight. That was a close fight, and then he got knocked out in the 12th round, did Brian Jennings. He followed up that fight. Now, I don't know if he had a stay busy fight in there. I can't remember. Quick little tune-up or something. But then early in, what was it, January? No, I'm thinking about somebody else. I'm confusing cards tonight. No, Gerald Washington is the guy who fought. I was going to say Konoski and got knocked out, but that's wrong. But anyway, so like I said, is Jennings in his prime? No. How good was he even in his prime? He was pretty good. He was a contender. He was all right, you know. But if Joyce has plans of causing at least some disruption in the heavyweight division, he's a big puncher, pretty damn slow, pretty open to be hit. This could be a good fight. It's a good step-up fight where he's at. So, yeah, two prospects at the heavyweight division taking on guys that are clear steps up for him. Now, we'll see if they actually, once they get in the ring, if they ultimately play out that way as a good test, or if Jennings just pass it and Joyce takes him out quick, or if Gorman maybe isn't all that good and it's not that good of a fight. It's tough to say. Maybe Dubois is really not all that good at this point. You never know. You know, it looks like he's pretty damn good, but he also looks like he's open on offense. I don't think he's as slow or maybe as stiff as Joyce, but we'll see. I think it's an interesting card. That's on ESPN Plus. Then we start to get into, so we already said Saturday night with Shakur Stevenson. I already talked about that. Now this one is DAZN. This is Carson, California, there at the former StubHub, former Home Depot. some sort of, I forgot what they call it now. But anyway, Ray Vargas and Tomika, I think it's Tomika, Kamita. I like this fight. Very good fight. Vargas has a style that can be awkward, very skillful, very defensive-minded at sometimes. Other times we've seen him open up a little bit. He's got a really good record, that's for sure. And Kamita is a guy who was going to retire, then he did, but then he came back. And I thought a handful of years ago that he beat, in one of those fights anyway, McDonald. That's my opinion. Those were very close fights. So I can understand, you know, anybody that, you know, had either guy winning per se. You know, I definitely can see that. It was a close fight and whatnot. But I don't know. To me, I had him win in one of those fights. And you could make an argument that it was 1-1. You could make an argument that, you know, that he won both of them. This was back in 2015. In fact, May, and they fought in June. 12-round decisions, both of them. And both of them went Jamie McDonald's way. Now, he fought after that. He hasn't really took it on Ivan Morales. Hasn't really been tested. And I don't mean for, you know, for HGH. I mean tested, sent. So we'll see. We'll see. He had some decent wins all the way up to that McDonald fight, but Ray Vargas, 33-0. He's pretty damn long and lanky, but, you know, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. At 122, he's got a 70.5-inch reach. I mean, that's impressive, but you look at Kamita, he's got a 67. So that's pretty damn good, too, for that weight class. Both of them are super long and lanky. So I'm looking forward to this fight. Like I said, on paper, because it's for the WBC bantamweight belt or super bantamweight belt. And we're looking at, you know, some pretty solid fighters in this division here fighting. So I like this fight a lot. And it, you know, if you look at Vargas, he actually stayed busy in February, had a 12-rounder. He beat Habanosian, Negrete, Ronnie Rios, Gavin McDowell, Nunez. And, you know, so he beat some vets, some kind of contender / prospects. He got some good wins. He's 33-0, so it's not like, I don't know, he's not quite 33-0 good, if you know what I mean, because he really doesn't have that top-level win yet. This would be, I think, his best win right here. If he gets it, this is going to be a good fight. And both of them kind of like to sit. Like, Kamita will sit in the middle of the ring as well and go skill for it. He's a little bit more aggressive. Vargas wants to be right there in a skills fest and on the outside. He's hard to get to. He's going to use that reach. There could be a potential that Kamita overextends and gets himself in a tad bit of trouble. That there is potential for that. But, like I said, I think that's probably – I probably have to say that's the that's probably the best fight as far as meaningful at a division. Not to say some of these prospect fights aren't, you know, very meaningful, but – that's what I'd probably say. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And something's going on with my internet right now. I noticed several people, maybe, no, it looks like some people got dropped off of the switchboard. All right, I'm going to go refresh it. You could try to, you know, call back in and see if that works for you. I believe it will. So, yeah, so that about, what do we, oh no, wait, I'm all missing it. What the heck? Huh. That's really strange. And my internet is just jacked up all of a sudden. All right. It didn't seem like a military plane. You know, sometimes if you listen to the show, I'll say, oh, that was a military plane. Because I live close to an airport. And we can't hear planes. Because we have the, our windows got the installation of sound barrier. You can't really hear planes. But you can always tell when it's a military plane. You can always tell when it's a military plane, man. Huh. Okay, so I apologize for those who just got knocked off. It looks like it's you're available to call back in. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. Yeah, actually, I just heard a military plane. I just heard a plane. So I bet you there's a couple of them taking off, and maybe that's why. It's basically like when a military plane goes by, everything kind of just drops. It's like, nope, you're not going to be able to mess with that. Sorry, you know. That's basically what's happening here. All right. So it looks like it's good. Now, at least it didn't drop me from my Skype. I'm going to knock on wood, though. Because watch, now it will. I'm out here talking that smack. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, where was I? I'm a little confused now. I was talking about... What was that? Oh, Vargas and Kamita. Yeah, that's going to be a good fight. I'm going to pick Kamita. And by the way, you know what's funny is this is another Al Haymon fighter fighting on DAZN right here. Nobody will talk about it, but Kamita's an Al Haymon fighter, unless he just got dropped or something. I don't believe he did. I think he's still, in fact, no, I checked. He's still on the PBC site. So we have a main event on DAZN with a fighter going for a belt. That means it can be done. Diego de la Hoya and Ronnie Rios is on this card. Same with Joette Gonzalez. That both those guys, the Diego de la Hoya fight, I'm kind of looking forward to. Ronnie Rios is a good fighter. You know, he's not, it's nothing special or whatever, but he, you know, there's something there. It's a nice step up for him. They've been kind of just moving him a little laterally. And I'm speaking of, you know, Diego de la Hoya at that point. So I kind of like that. I kind of like those cards. And Gonzalez is going against, what is his name? Is it Avila? I think that's who it is. I literally can't check right now for some odd reason. I was going to check on a couple of things, but maybe it's just my phone. Let's see if, yeah, it's just my phone for ESPN. I think ESPN's got a pretty solid schedule. That's why I kind of follow it. Weird. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I apologize. Like I said, I do see some people coming into the fray now, so welcome. So that DAZN card, I definitely have some interest in that DAZN card. Most definitely. That should be interesting. Let me just make sure that I – okay, there we go. I don't have the schedule memorized. There's so many damn fights. Yeah. So it's a 12-rounder junior featherweight with Diego de la Hoya and Ronnie Rios. Eduardo Rocky Hernandez taking on Roger Gutierrez is well on that card. A couple of two to be announced. That's kind of weird at this point. But yeah, Joette, it's a 10-rounder. Okay, I thought it was a 12-rounder. But that makes sense, though. Joette Gonzalez against Manuel Avila. Avila? So that could be interesting, too. I'm kind of looking forward to that. So that's a pretty – there's some fights, not just the main event, you know. But there is some interesting fights there, which is always cool. And so closing out the weekend preview will be one from my neck of the woods up at the Minneapolis Armory. This will be on FS1 and Fox Deportes. Jamal James returns, taking on a veteran guy, that's for sure. Antonio DeMarco. On the undercard, Robert Hellenius is taking on Gerald Washington. That's the part that I got mixed up. That's exactly where I got mixed up. I was thinking, because Gerald Washington got stopped earlier. Talk about a crossroads fight. There's two crossroads fights on here that really interest me. Now, Carlos Beldros and Gary Ants, the Gary Russell family, Antonio, Antoine, and everybody else. Actually, two of Gary Russell's brothers will be on that card as well. Local fighter Vishon Owens is on the card. Celestio Ramirez tries to bounce back from his first loss. Marcos Hernandez is on the card as well as far as prospects. But there's one's a co-feature, but two of them I'm interested in. They're definitely crossroad fights beyond the main event. Robert Hellenius and Gerald Washington. This is definitely a crossroads fight. It's a heavyweight fight. So we could get some pretty damn good action. Washington, he's had some performances that make you think, hey, this guy's pretty good. This guy's pretty good in the past anyway. And then, he got into the game late, as we know, former football player. I think he was a defensive end for USC. He did have that split decision draw with Amir Mansour. I think that was I want to say that was on an FS1 card. He beat Eddie Chambers in a very slow fight, but he pretty much, had him beat. Eddie Chambers was past his prime by then, but still, it was something to look at. Not a good, I shouldn't say something to look at, something to go, okay, I'll keep an eye on this guy. But the fight was pretty damn dreadful. So it comes down to styles with him. But his fight with Wilder in 2017 was pretty interesting. He was doing really well with his jab, doing very well. And then he got caught, got dropped, got caught again, and it was over. He had a fight like 5 months later, ended up getting beat by Jarrell Big Baby Miller. So now he's gotten he did get a bounce back fight, but against that no fire dude, and he had a 10 rounder. That guy, I think he only had one. I think I saw his loss actually, but then he got destroyed against Konoski. I mean, destroyed. It was all what was it, second, third round, something like that. Yeah, second round TKO. It wasn't a good look. Helenis is, he fights out of. He resides in Finland, but he was born in Stockholm, Sweden, born there, and lost to Dillian White in 2017 over a 12-round distance, though. Duhapis was able to stop him in the sixth round. This is back in 2016, though. Had a split decision, I remember that, with 2011 with Derek Chisora. I remember that over 12 rounds. Had a nice run knocking out Peter and a couple other Lamont Brewster, and at the time Gregory Tony was a prospect. And so, he kind of was being brought along, lost, kind of built back, then lost again. Now he's been built back again, and we'll see where he's at. The styles make fights, as we know, and this actually could be an interesting fight, especially for a heavyweight fight. You never really know what you're going to get with a heavyweight fight, but it could be interesting. It could be interesting. Anytime you put a crossroads fight in front of me, I'm going to at least kind of wonder, all right, who's going to win? Here's another fight, Bryant Perrella and Dominique Dalton. Now, once again, this is a mid-level fight, crossroads fight. It means a lot to the fighters. You and I, we don't really have a big stake in this or anything like that, right? But it has potential to be a good fight. Both guys have two losses. Pirelli fought a very shop-worn Bredas Prescott. In fact, that was back in February, fought him here in at the Armory. And I was starting to think maybe they're trying to match up the winner of Dominique Dalton and Bryant Perrella. Maybe they're trying to – that winner is going to go against the winner of Jamal James and DeMarco. That's what I was kind of looking at. They brought him back again, you know, to the Armory. So that's what I was thinking, that Prescott fight. I actually thought that'd be a little bit better of a fight. But Prescott just couldn't bring it enough, like he's, you know, kind of got to be known for a little bit. Just couldn't bring enough effective pressure in that fight. Perrella looked really good, and then he got, you know, hit pretty damn hard too. So Ugas was, you know, Pirelli's first loss, and then he lost to Collazo in a majority decision. So it was a pretty close fight. Dude also beat Greatone. I remember that fight. That was 2016, David Greatone. That was a prospect versus prospect fight. So, yeah, then Dalton, like I said, he's 22-2. His only two losses came against Jermonte Clark, who was pretty solid. I don't think – here, let me check, actually. I don't think it was unanimous. I don't think it was a unanimous decision. It was 8 rounds. Then he lost to Justin Deloach, who had that nice run too, had a draw with Oscar Molina. So he's fought some pretty good fighters. He's looking for his best win, obviously, too, because he doesn't really have that kind of good win. So, you know, who knows? We'll see. We'll see how that fight goes. Looks like a crossroad fight. The main event, you know, DeMarco is a guy who we've been saying he's been done for a while. In fact, I remember people talking about when this was 2016 or 2015 with DeMarco and Figueroa. And, you know, I remember people saying, why are they even putting him in the ring back then? Like, what the hell is he even in the ring against Figueroa for DeMarco? Because, you know, he's past it, obviously. But when it turned out, you saw the second half of the fight. Next thing you know, he's back in the fight. You know what I mean? And he was all – it was like a 7-5 fight. It really was. So I'll tell you the reason why he's getting this fight. Well, there's a couple reasons why, but when you – DeMarco, not in his last fight, he took on an unbeaten prospect. What is it? Dadashev? Maxime? He lost over 10 rounds. You know, he lost to Figueroa over 12 rounds. Lost to Bartholomew over 12 rounds or 10 rounds. Lost to Jesse Vargas when Jesse Vargas was undefeated in 2014 over 12 rounds. Broner knocked him out. Obviously, you know, that John Molina fight where he caught Molina early, and Molina, you know, without being fully experienced yet, just kind of crouched down and bent over too far in a position where it looked like he was quitting. That Jorge Linares fight was phenomenal. He actually fought Valerio too. And he was doing all right, considering, you know, Edwin Valerio at that time was, you know, pretty destructive. You know, obviously in and outside the ring. But, you know, Eddie Ramirez a while back, this is over a year ago, was an unbeaten prospect. He got beat in the very first round. Now, I want to say that they could have let the fight go, maybe. I can't totally remember if I think they should have let the fight go, but he's had a rough go since then too. But that's why, man, he kind of rejuvenated his gatekeeper career at this point with that Eddie Ramirez win. And he keeps going the distance, but he had like a long break. December 12, 2015, his next fight after that Figueroa fight, because he had retired, we thought. He didn't fight till early 2017, so he got, you know, about a 15 months off. Then he came back late 2017 or later fall 2017 and beat Eddie Ramirez. So that's really why it is, you know, there. And, you know, clearly Jamal James is the favorite. He's got that length. He can keep him on the outside. He's got a good jab, pretty good footwork. Thing is, Jamal likes to fight. And if we get into the third and the fourth and the fifth, and anybody saw that Ramos fight last year, you know, this could actually be better than people are even thinking it could be. And nobody's really looking at this card right now, you know what I mean? For obvious reasons, most people think Jamal's going to win fairly easy. There's other names going, you know, Shakur Stevenson, a young prospect who did well in the Olympics a few years back. And then DAZN has an interesting card that the hardcores will probably like as well. So, two crossroads fights. I guess this is a crossroads fight technically for DeMarco too. But I was trying to think maybe it's going to be Perella, but I also spoke not long ago that they're going to have to do something with the WBA because you have Manny Pacquiao and you have Keith Thurman uniting. I'm not going to call it a unification. They are forming a Voltron. No, they're fighting for their WBA straps, trinkets. And so that'll be combined. Well, you know the WBA can't have that. They can't just have a super champ. They got to have a regular champ and a maybe champ and an interim champ and all that. And so we knew they were going to have another belt. It was just a matter of time. Well, now we have more information. And this is going to start to lead to news. That's about it for the preview, by the way. But the winner of Jamal James and Antonio DeMarco will fight. So this is a title eliminator, and so is the Sergey Lipinets versus John Molina Jr. And that's coming up next week on that other card. I'm really looking forward to that Lipinets-Molina. That's going to be a good fight. But the winners, and most people think Jamal will win, okay? So the winner will fight the winner of Jamal or DeMarco. And if Jamal comes through, that's a really good fight for him, whoever wins that Lipinets-Molina fight. Lipinets, you know, more in his prime right now. But Molina, a lot of people thought, maybe I shouldn't say a lot, but I saw a fair amount of people, you know, think that he did enough to beat Figueroa. So we'll see how that goes. But that obviously adds incentive for all four fighters, knowing that they, you know, we may not think much of those belts, but still, it's cool for them. So, yeah, that about wraps up the preview. It's a busy weekend. Let's hope some of these fights really turn into barn burners, right? The Vargas Comita. Like I said, if you saw that Ramos fight with James, DeMarco could surprise you a little bit for those at home thinking, I'm not even going to watch that fight. It's probably worth a DVR if you're not going to watch it live. All right, so, man, I am just thirsty right now. I can't drink enough water. All right, sorry, I had to take a little break. All right, so, got a little bit left here in the program. Not going to go extra long today because we didn't have a ton of recap. And like I said, you can break these fights down coming up this weekend. There are some interesting fights. Next weekend, though, we really start to get on a nice little run. The Pacquiao-Thurman Fox pay-per-view fight. I actually saw before the World Cup started, the World Cup final started, I noticed that they had an ad on there for it. And I also noticed during halftime. I think they had ads on it during halftime after that, after the final too, like in the post show. And then I know that MLS game they had after that had commercials for the Pacquiao Thurman, and I think the Pacquiao Thurman Fight Camp 2 followed. We were talking about, you know, the media rollout, the shoulder programming. I think they're doing a good job. I went back and forth with Chris Mannix a couple of weeks back, and he was trying to say, you know, why, and this is where it comes from. He works for DAZN, and I'm going to talk about a media member, or a couple of media members, really. I'm not going to necessarily name their names, but because I don't like to do that overall. Mannix is just a big enough deal that it really doesn't matter. But same with like Dan Raphael or Steve Kim, Doug Fisher, I've mentioned before as well. But he was trying to say, Mannix was saying that he doesn't know why for this fight, the Pacquiao Thurman fight, that they didn't use Showtime instead of Fox. And it's like, really, dude? Maybe this off season of NBA basketball is just like, you know, like taking up too much of your time, and you're just kind of out of the loop or something. But I don't know, man. And I told him, I was like, you know, I didn't tell him. I texted or tweeted him back saying, you know, did you see the Spence Garcia numbers and see how they promoted that? And it's not like they have to just have NFL football on and that's the only thing that they can ever market it on. It just seemed like they had some platforms leading up to it that were pretty good marketing wise. And so I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm kind of interested to see. By the way, if you want to hear the new segment, 646-381-4990 is the number to call. That's 646-381-4990. It's about to cut off the live stream here in about 80 seconds. But yeah, it was just kind of weird. What I was going to say is there's actually the MLB All-Star game tonight. So I'm really hoping that they sneak in and add somewhere in there. That'd be dope. That'd be really dope. I'm not sure if they're gonna, but they did get an ad in the right before the World Cup started. Like I think it was right before the coverage started, or was it right before the game, like the commercial break before they came back from the game or something like that. But I saw a couple people commenting on it, and I remember seeing it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I definitely saw it during the World Cup. Seen it for Fox Baseball. So, you know, I saw it during the U.S. Open for golf as well on Fox and FS1. So they're definitely getting it out there. I mean, they don't have the NFL right this second, you know, to promote it. But it was just weird. Mannix is like scratching his head. Like, I can't believe that it was just a mistake. He was acting like it was a mistake to go with Fox on pay-per-view over Showtime. And it's like, I mean, just the boxing platform that Fox has, their minimum numbers are the best numbers Showtime can get. So just that alone, talking about upcoming fights on their broadcast is going to be better. So I don't know, man. It was kind of weird. Really kind of weird. Was I leading someplace with that? I don't remember. But anyway, I was going to talk about, actually, before I get into the Canelo news and whatnot, since we're on the media thing, the Ring, we know Ring is owned by Golden Boy, and there's been questionable Ring belts given away. Like Linares and Crolla. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Now CBS, who owns Showtime, owns Boxing Scene. We're starting to finally get more PBC stuff on Boxing Scene, way more of it than we used to anyway. But anyway, sometimes a couple of writers that have been doing it for a long time, and some of them I really, really respect. You know, they've been doing it since the 90s. They're making a living off it. It's not easy to make a living in this business, trust me. So kudos to them. But usually, if you're going to make a full living, a lot of times you see, you know, the battling back and forth. And recent PBC or media members that either work for Fox or PBC or a combination of that, you have seen those people argue on the sake of PBC more than they had. So, you know, it's a natural thing. It's not totally natural, but it happens is what I'm saying. It's not the craziest thing, but this certain ring employee, and also, you know, he does his own podcast and a variety of stuff, but he actually made an argument, two things. He was telling us to wrap our heads around Canelo and Munguia, if in fact that's the fight. So wrap your head around. He wrote an article and he put some of the quotes of the article into Honest Twitter feed. And he's like, you know, you should wrap your head around it. If we don't get the trilogy, you know, the knee jerk for the people out there, the naysayers, and basically like the party poopers would be to look at Munguia's last fight against Hogan that most people thought he lost and look at his outstanding record. And maybe we don't think he has as much power now as we thought a year ago, which is clear he doesn't. And maybe 154 is bugging him. Munguia maybe be better at 160. Who knows? But he's talking about the shiny record, and it's Mexican against Mexican, and people love the style, this, that, and the third. But he's saying wrap your head around it. Okay, cool. I'll try to wrap my head around Canelo Munguia, okay, instead of Golovkin or Callum Smith or Andrade or Kovalev. I'll wrap my head around Munguia. But a handful of days before that, this same ring employee put out a buyer's beware for Pacquiao Thurman because it won't be a war because of the style. That it probably won't be a full-on brawl, which, you know, there's so many pay-per-view main events that are 50-50. First of all, there's not many, just what I just said right there, right? But it's just funny, like, how many 50-50 fights on paper that include top-level fighters in a division turn into just a brawl? I mean, in a main event of pay-per-view, how many? Even the Golovkin-Canelo fights, which are very, very good fights, great action, great skill. But they weren't wars. Like, it's just funny. So he put out a buyer's beware because he thought, well, you know, I don't want you guys complaining about it after. So I'm putting out, like, he doesn't want to see anybody when he posts something after the fight or something to say, oh, that was boring. Waste of my money. I'm glad I didn't buy it or whatever, you know. Or I wasted my money. Not, I'm glad I didn't buy it. But, you know, I guess that's who he's talking to. But it's just funny that he put out a buyer's beware for Pacquiao Thurman, but he wants us to wrap our head around Canelo and Munguia. And I understand if you're only going to get a month of it, you know, in September, it'd be $20 compared to $75. But let's not act like when you say buyers beware based off it won't be a war, that's ridiculous. Because in the same breath, the same, not just this one guy, but other people will talk about, oh, this is a skill fest. And, you know, so they appreciate a couple different styles But to put out a buyer's beware for Pacquiao and Thurman, first of all, I'm pretty sure people know what they're getting into with Pacquiao and Thurman because people know them. And two, it's a great undercard for pay-per-view. I mean, how many pay-per-view cards have we had that had this – there's not many that had this many good fights on it. So it just really makes me scratch my head. Wrap your head around Canelo Munguia, but a buyer's beware. I don't want you to sit there and be mad because it wasn't a brawl. So you may want to sit this one on the sidelines. It's just ridiculous. And it just shows you, it's just clear PBC bias, dude. Like, it just doesn't get any more than that. And so anyway, though, let's keep it going. Canelo. He's got a couple of things on his plate. Supposedly, according to Mike Coppinger, who's the insider, Fight News insider for Fox, and he's actually with The Athletic, is what he writes for them. He claims that there's two opponents that have been approved by DAZN, and they are a trilogy with Golovkin and a Kovalev fight. And as far as building subscriptions in the States, that's their goal at DAZN. You know, Golovkin, that would be the one they really want. That's the whole point of getting Golovkin on there. But even Kovalev is a name. He has name recognition compared to, say, a Callum Smith or an Andre or even a Munguia for that matter. So supposedly those are the two opponents that have been okayed. Now, did Golden Boy and Canelo's side give DAZN a list of four or five opponents and they only approved two and they didn't have Callum Smith or Andre on that list? That could be the case. That 100% could be the case. We don't know. What we do know is they said they approved two opponents. But if it's true that they only approved two opponents, maybe because that's really who he's been in talks with. I believe Munguia got an offer the last time I heard. I don't believe Andre has. They were talking about stuff. But it really felt like I mentioned last week, it felt like Canelo was just kind of trolling. And he'd say, I can fight him, I can fight him, I can fight Callum Smith, I can fight him. Oh, Triple G's talking about Munguia, I can fight Munguia. Oh, Andre, I'll fight Andre. You know, so it sounded like he was just kind of, you know, trolling him, being a dick, trying to take his plan Bs and plan Cs if, in fact, that fight doesn't happen. Or just saying, hey, man, it's going to be in Vegas, or don't take the fight. You know, that it seems like he's just drawing a line in the sand. Canelo is on Golovkin, but we've heard no Kovalev for Canelo, that the offer's still not there, and now they're running out of time. And as we know, Kovalev has a fight with Yard already signed. I think it's October 24th, if I'm not mistaken. So it sounds like Kovalev's out. Well, if that's one of the okayed, approved DAZN fighters, then they've only approved Golovkin? What about Andre? What about Callum Smith? You mentioned the guy at 175. You're just going to go buy Callum Smith, just skip him, and then right in his own weight class. You're just going to skip Andre? Like I said, maybe they gave him four or five names and Andre and Callum Smith aren't on those names. I don't know. But if that's the case, it's kind of like, oh, okay, so you haven't approved? What do you mean approved? So you could approve opponents. So why don't you approve Callum Smith and Andre too? And that's what I think we're going to hear a little bit more about. I think Eddie Hearn will address it at some point too. Speaking of Canelo, though, God, I just can't stop drinking water. Like, my throat is just killing me. Remember I talked about how the IBF is going to make a move at some point? They always do. Well, they did. The purse bid is called for July 23rd. We knew they had passed their limit on, you have to decide what you're going to do by this date. and that date has passed. So now they have, you know, a purse bid where they can still negotiate, but the purse bid is July 23rd, and that's for Derevyanchenko for the IBF belt for Canelo. So odds are he's going to drop that belt. That's what most people are saying. So I don't know. Will it be Derevyanchenko Golovkin like we talked about last week? You know, we'll see. We will see. So Canelo's got a lot on his plate. You know, and really, the announcement of Canelo's fight and the announcement of Joshua Ruiz Part 2 and Eddie Hearn has been teasing that, like, that announcement's coming very, very soon. We'll find out. You know, if he announced it today and it was in the States, that'd be pretty dumb because the All-Star game for MLB's on tonight, and that'll have everybody's attention. Last night was the home run contest. This night's the actual game. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see when they're going to announce it. But the Ruiz fight, or Joshua Ruiz rematch and Canelo fight, once those are announced, there's going to be some dominoes that start to fall. I mean, people will need opponents and move to plan and be in plan C, and other fights can be announced that are done, like a Spence Porter and an Ortiz and Wilder rematch, because they're just kind of waiting and they want to have their own attention for the fight. You don't want to be, you know, overlooked or overshadowed, I should say. Couple of other news items to get to, then we're out of here. Glovoski. Did I say that? Glovoski, I don't know if I got to it yet. I talked about it in the beginning of the show when I was previewing the news topics, but we all know Briedis and Glovoski should happen again because of how what went down in the ring a couple weeks back was just disgraceful. It sucked. It was horrible. Glovoski got screwed. There's just no way around it. It was, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, Glovoski was hurt really, really bad after the bell had rang. And it was well after the bell had rang. Somehow, some way, probably because the ref's too old, didn't hear it. Didn't hear the bell. So it was pretty bad. But anyway, the Briedis and Dorticos fight, I really love the fight. I like the fight a lot. It just sucks that it happened to Glovoski. You know what I mean? But here's kind of a fix it. If the winner of Briedis and Dorticos wants to keep the WBO belt that they win in the World Boxing Super Series Cruiserweight Final, they're going to have to fight Glovoski within 120 days. So, give her, you know, about 4 months later, they're going to have to fight him. That's what the WBO ruled, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I really like that. I mean, like I said, they could just – hopefully they give it a no contest, but we'll see. But either way, to get a shot at the winner, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So we'll see how that all plays out. Like I said, that Briedis-Dorticos fight could be a really, really interesting fight. And then lastly, I am going to check the waiver wire, so to speak, the news real quick. But according to Tyson Fury, the date, although we hear that it's a working date, but Fury says February 22nd at the MGM Grand will be Wilder Fury 2. The rematch between Wilder and Fury February 22nd at the MGM Grand. That's what he said in an interview. Who knows? You know what I mean? It makes sense that that would be a working date because they did say how they want to, you know, nuzzle it right in the end of the NFL season, a couple weeks past that, and then right before the college basketball and March Madness takes over. And then obviously after that, the NBA takes over with their playoffs. And that goes till June. So like mid-June. And obviously even right now, it's really giving an example. Anybody that lives in the States or follows news in the States for basketball, the last couple of weeks, the amount of the attention that the NBA has drawn. It just shows you what we've been trying. We try to tell Eddie Hearn about this. Now he's coming around that he's promoted over here and admitting, man, there is just layers of entertainment and sports that's hard to deal with. And the last couple of weeks with this NBA stuff has been – it's been crazy, man. So that's probably why we don't have – that could be also why we don't have Canelo's announcement too, but especially Joshua Ruiz. But anyway, especially if it's in the States. But that would make sense, February 22nd. I know, speaking of the NBA, I know the NBA All-Star Game, I want to say it's the 15th, the week before. So you don't want to go head-to-head with the slam dunk contest if you could help it. So, yeah, that would be a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, and probably about 2 or 3 weeks before March Madness kicks in. So that'd be a really good date, February 22nd. So for those who think that fight's not going to happen, or at least it's a planned fight, and it's not just nonsense, that's kind of telling you that it's not nonsense. Now, you never know. You never know. If Ruiz were to beat Joshua, you never know. You know what I mean? You could get – they could be like, you know what? We want that unification fight now. You know? We're going to do that before the Fury fight. But sounds like it's at least verbally agreed on. So, you know. But we'll see. We will see. I think that's going to wrap it up. Like I said, I'm just double checking a little bit of news, making sure. Oh, speaking of Tyson Fury, you know, there's been all sorts of talks. Bob Arum pretty much deaded this for now anyway. There's been a lot of talks about Big Baby Miller and Tyson Fury. And obviously Big Baby Miller having those failed tests with a variety of HGH or at least, you know, PEDs. And a lot of people are like, dude, he's only going to get a 6 month, you know, because he didn't have his license. So he wasn't licensed. So he's only going to get that 6 month ban through the WBO something, WBA, I think it was, WBO, I don't care. And he's just going to end up fighting him. And Bob said what we've been saying too, that we don't know his license yet. I mean, if he fought in Madison Square Garden, the New York State Athletic Commission could say, nah, dude, like, we're going to suspend you for another 6 months. So you have a year out because, you know, you failed more than one test. It was more than one substance. So we really don't know, but he also admitted that's the reason why. So if they found out that they were going to get licensed, I'm assuming he's going to have a hearing. That's what I would hope. Even if he, you know, he says he has some evidence of other stuff and maybe those other tests weren't legit or whatever. He's going to get his day in court. I'm assuming they're going to, you know, have a panel up there and go over what happened and before they license him. So all that takes time. Tyson Fury definitely knows that, going through a board to try to get relicensed, right? And get figured out and whatnot. So he was saying, Bob Arum was saying, that's not going to happen based off that. Not that it won't happen because of the drug test, but it could be because he won't get licensed. So that kind of, I don't know, but the Trevor Bryan is he's American, I guess, so that's why they would want him as an opponent. I think he's like a secondary or maybe like a super regular interim WBA something. I don't really know what he is, but I think that about wraps it up. Yeah, that about wraps it up. Enjoy the fights. Like I said, I'll be at the Armory. So if you're going to watch maybe a different card and you want to keep updated, I'll be updating the fights there on Twitter. So yeah, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights. There is a plethora of them on the schedule. So let's hope we get some barn burners that we can talk about next week. And obviously next week is a big week Keith Thurman, Manny Pacquiao, a lot of arguments to be made for who's going to win that one. All right, enjoy the fights. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, when as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, that made it. That will show you it's this. So I'm going to get every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.